sinners came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm thankful you tuned in to our broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse number 44. Last time the disciples asked the Lord about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and that's a parable that tells us about the elective grace and predestinating work of the Lord before the foundation of the world. A seed in a bag that is nothing but good seed. Seed in a bag that is possessed by Satan that is bad seed. Children of the kingdom, children of the wicked one. Now, none of us know who is who, and as I mentioned in several examples last time, certainly with Nebuchadnezzar, Saul of Tarsus, King Manasseh, Mary Magdalene, the demoniac at Gadara, all certainly they looked like they were children of the devil for sure. But the Lord, by his power and his spirit, his gospel and his visitation, saved them. It was made evident that they were some of the wheat that the Lord had sown and had saved. The working of the Lord in this life. Many take exception to the electing grace of the Lord. But the thing is there's a misunderstanding about how bad sin is. The depravity is such a terrible, terrible thing. Sin pervading from that time that Adam ate of the fruit willingly before our God and Creator. The Lord told him, in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And not only did Adam die spiritually, it took several hundred years for him to die physically, but he died spiritually, and we died along with him, dead in trespasses and sins. Sin, depravity is so, so bad. No man could be saved of his own volition. No man could find God in any way of his own device. It took our Lord. It took our Lord to purpose to bring salvation unto his people. And so the thing is there are also on the other side many that want to take that and try to weed out who's who. But the Lord said, no, don't take the wheat and the tares and try to uproot the tares. Don't try to find the tares and uproot the wheat before the time. In time, it'll become very evident who is who. But let them grow, both grow together. And then in the end, I'll instruct the angels on what to do. And so it'll be very, very clear. The Lord says there in verse number 43, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do we want to quarrel with the Lord? Or receive the goodness of his salvation and his blessing. Again, the command of the Lord unto sinners is to repent of their sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to figure out who the wheat and the tares are. That's God's work. He shares with us what he's done and what he's worked, but it is not our business. We are just to receive it and to praise his name for it, that even one sinner can be saved by his power. Verse number 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. So here's another way, another aspect, another vantage point, another facet of the kingdom of the Lord. Treasure hid in a field. You can see that. Some great value, something is hid in a field. It's been buried, or it's under a log, or back behind some rocks. The which when a man hath found, He finds the treasure. He hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So here the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, treasure that is hid. Buy the truth and sell it not. The man doesn't undertake to steal it because the field is not his. He's found it and is there in that field. He leaves it in the place that he found it. He puts it back and hides it. It was hidden and he's discovered it. And for joy, therefore, goeth and selleth all that he hath. He'll give everything of his life to go buy that field. You know what? That field contains the treasure. And you know what? That treasure is his. Can we buy salvation? Can you and I buy favor with God? No, that's not what the parable's talking about. The parable is speaking about the value of the salvation of the soul, the value of the doctrine, the teaching, the word of God, the value of knowing God and God knowing you and his truth by which he makes us free, free indeed. There's no price that can compare with the salvation and the truth of our Lord, to be a possessor of such. He goes on to verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So we have a merchant man. He's a trader in jewelry and stones and pearls and such. And so he's seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So here, these parables, there's no explanation for them. But I think with the other parables, we can understand here, it was told earlier about a field that had the treasure. Here, this man trades in pearls and he found the pearl of great price. Oh, the beautiful one, the one largest in size. It was worth all that he had to go and sell it and buy it, to have it, to be a possessor of it. There's no greater thing than salvation. Again, he's not talking about us trading or bartering or dealing with God with money or promises of what we'll do or any such thing. He's telling about the value of salvation, the value of knowing God and God knowing you, the value of entering in into the kingdom in knowledge on this side. All are subject to the kingdom. There are children of the kingdom. There are subjects to the kingdom. Oh, to be a child of God is what we need, what you need. Again, verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. And so what do we understand from that? Well, fishing with a net, which when it was full, the net was drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the fire, furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, the resurrection, the judgments, the wrapping up of things, oh, it will take several years for it to all come to fruition. There'll even be that millennial reign of Christ where the heathen, the unbelieving will be subject to the Lord for those 1,000 years. But in the end, the just, the justified by the Lord Jesus and his salvation, and those that reject him and reject repentance of their sins and their need, there'll be a separating. And the angels won't get it wrong. They'll get it right according to the word and power of the Lord. Are you saved? If you died right now, where would you go? If you died right now, would you Would you be ushered into the presence of the Lord? If the Lord Jesus returned now, would he take you out because you're one of his? Or would he leave you here because you have rejected him? He goes on and says unto them in verse number 51, "And to you and me, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." "Have you understood these parables?" He said, "Yes, we understand them." And he said unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Interesting verse here, wrapping up this series of parables that our Lord has given. A mystery for so many years, but I think that we can understand and see at least some aspect of this. Do you understand these things I've said unto you? Do you understand these parables that I've spoken unto you? And the disciples said, yeah, we understand them. We understand what you're saying. We understand the facets of the kingdom that you're giving unto us. He said, therefore, because of all that, therefore, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven. So he mentions this one that writes over the scripture over and over again, making copy after copy, giving all diligence to make sure that the copy is just like the original. That's the work of the scribe, copying documents, copying the scripture, copying the Bible over and over again. This scribe that's instructed into the kingdom of heaven, he's taught, he learns. He says, he's likened to a man, so the worker, the copier, the learner, the scribe couldn't help but have the word of God in him, at least from a mental standpoint. Every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder. He's like a man that owns a house, a master of a house, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, that's his wealth, that's his store, things new and things old. That's the way it is or is to be with the children of God, to be a rejoicing and to be a rejoicer in the things that the Lord has given us, things that we've learned a long time ago, but they're very precious. They are great wealth indeed. They are from our Lord. We maybe learned them early on in our saved life, after the Lord saved us, and they are a blessing and an enjoyment to us. When we take that treasure that the Lord's given us and given us His truth and His doctrine, we pull that out and we rejoice in it. And then there's those things that we've learned maybe not so long ago, but learned more recently. Those things that the Lord teaches us about His kingdom, His kingdom and His working therein and our part in it, and what a blessing it is to be made a child of the kingdom. We learn those things more recently, and they're new, and they're just as precious, and they are treasure unto us that the money of this world and the valuables of this world do not even compare to the value of that treasure that the Lord has given us. I pray that's the case with you. Are you saved? If you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. If you are saved, rejoice. Rejoice in being a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, now. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.